Thanks, Bernie. All right, is this working? All right, awesome. Yeah, so camping with my four-year-old, she was super excited, didn't realize that I had purchased a massive tent, basically two queen-size beds could fit in it, and I had to put it up all by myself. That was difficult. On the basketball front, I guess one quick note, maybe what I would think is the highlight of what, if you could even call it a career. So my high school team made the state tournament, playing on a professional court in Minneapolis at where the Timberwolves play, and the first time ever I had been dunked on in a game. So someone came across the lane and threw down a slam dunk right in my face, something I'd never experienced and wasn't too proud about it on basically the highlight of my basketball career. But no one's dunked on me since. I learned very quickly to either get out of the way or foul them so they do not dunk on you. So excited to be here talking a little bit about how to take your content marketing efforts from infancy to maturity. So again, Grant Hillis, Associate Inbound Marketing Manager. Hopefully this deck is correct. Collegis Education. So Collegis Education is an agency that works primarily just with colleges and universities to help them improve their marketing and technology. So you think a lot of the traditional or non-traditional schools, what can we help them do in terms of analytics, in terms of marketing, in terms of their technology stack as they drive enrollments in the current day and age. Then I'm also the content marketing director for a local search marketing group called MN Search. We put on monthly events to help educate the community on different new digital marketing practices, and then we put on an annual summit every summer in June in the Twin Cities featuring some of the top speakers. We have like Rand Fishkin and Will Reynolds coming in this year, a lot of great speakers, and then you can reach me at Grant Hillis on Twitter. Those are a picture of me and my three girls. I come from a family of all boys, so the idea of having three girls is incredibly frightening. Grant, they're all less than four now. Once they're in that teenage years, I might be coming to Vegas more often, I think. So, all right, so we're all creating content. This is a stat from the Content Marketing Institute. Today, when I talk about content, I'm primarily going to be talking about blog content, infographics, text, videos, things like that, not necessarily social content that you might be thinking about, so blog content specifically. But we're all using it. The question is, how is it actually performing for you? So a lot of us tend to think that we're doing an awesome job, we're a high performer, but in reality, it's much more of a bell curve. There's the top performers, there's the low performers, and then there's the meaty middle. But in order for you to continue to advance and grow as a marketer, as a content marketer, you need to be realistic about where you're at today and where you want to go. So because only 34% of marketers say they're actually effective, kind of frightening. Hopefully we're more effective than that, but it's definitely something where we need to have confidence in our abilities and do that, because we don't want to just be participating in this. We want to be a champion. I'm not sure if anyone's seen this commercial from Kia, where essentially the son is it gives his dad the participant trophy, and he's like, wait, we never lost a game. He's like, participant, champ. So if you're like me and you're kind of against the participant trophy, I thought that was a good point. But in reality, competition is getting fierce and fierce and fierce. Content marketing's been around for a while now, so we definitely need to continue to develop our content marketing abilities. I have some good examples of just different types of content that I feel is really well and stands out on the web. So here's one where they're talking about web design, and essentially the article features GIFs that kind of go back and highlight, if you can see on the bottom, how the different designs work within the different devices that users are using. Here's one from flowingdata.com. Definitely check them out. A lot of great content. An interactive visualization of how Americans spend their day. So this isn't animated right now, but all of these little balls move as the different times throughout the day changes. So right now it's 11:30 a.m. The big pink is work, and then 18% is leisure, and just all the kind of different things. And these just basically move throughout the time as the time goes up. So just a really cool visualization of the content. From the New York Times, is it better to rent or buy? I think this ranks number one on Google for that term. But definitely a great resource depending on what you're looking for a house to purchase, how long you plan to stay. It does the math for you to determine whether or not you should rent or buy. Time Labs. So something coming from times.com, their new lab section, lots of great data visualization content. How much sleep are you getting less than everyone else on average? So here's a great interactive element where I can put in how much time I get to sleep. So I go to sleep around 11, I wake up around 5:40 every day. And it tells me I get about an hour and 10 minutes less than the average amount of sleep, and it kind of charts that out for me. So again, another really cool interactive piece of content. And then of course we have the BuzzFeed type of content that's maybe not valuable, but super engaging. In case anyone's interested, I am Jasmine, so definitely a great one. But it doesn't happen overnight. So here's just a few screenshots of content from years ago that we had created when we just got started in content. Definitely something we're not proud of now, but I'm sure at the time we're like, this is really good. And now we look back and like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Please take it off the internet. But in reality, it takes a lot of time to mature. Okay, so you got to plant that seed. It takes time to grow. You can't go from A to Z in one fail swoop. It takes time to mature and grow and develop the talent that you need to have. The secret is just simply to getting started. The sooner you get started, the sooner you try to drive towards the improvement and really put the effort into that, you'll get there sooner. So I'm going to kind of walk through the content maturity model, just kind of show you what level you might be at now, what level is next, and what level you want to eventually be getting to. And I really kind of break it up a little bit more easily than how they do it. So essentially, the first level is you're sitting up. It's ad hoc type of content. You know, you're starting to create it, but there's no structure. There's no standard process. You know, you might be doing it sporadically, things like that. Then you move into crawling. Crawling is very rudimentary. So maybe you got some structure in place for managing the quality, maybe going through some editing, but in reality, you're just trying to meet deadlines, just push content out the door. Nothing, you know, you're not really getting much momentum, but you're seeing some movement. Then you start walking, so you have a uniform process, you're moving forward, you're picking up that momentum, you have a little bit more of a vision for your content, it's organized, it's repeatable, you can be consistent with it. Then you get to running. Running is a bit more managed and sustainable, so you committed to a planning process, you have quality assurance, you're training your team, you have maybe a budget, you're getting better at storytelling, at creating the content, and maybe even starting to see some ROI from your content. Then you get to parkour. Parkour is the most optimized way from getting to point A to point B, I guess. So with parkour, you're really at the top level of content marketing, so you're seeing the benefits of quality content throughout the organization. You embrace the measurement and the analytics that comes with content. You're willing to take risks and see what you can really get out of it to drive strong business growth. So here, I'm going to go through the case study for us. So a little bit of background. Collegiate Education was birthed out of essentially a college. So originally when I worked for what is now our client and then became the agency. So we were an in-house marketing team that spun off to create our own agency company. So everything that we talk about in the content examples was actually what I did when I was on that team when we were on the client side. So we'll go through those. First, just a quick note is, you know, today, you know, we're 2016 now, but when we started this, it was right around 2011, so really early in terms of the curve and in terms of getting on the bandwagon for content marketing. Certainly a lot easier to rank and to find success back then because the competition was slim, but the bar has definitely been raised in terms of the type of content and the quality of content that you need to produce today. So when we first started sitting up, this is two examples of the content that we were creating. So first one is the Pinterest party, how do I get invited? So this is when Pinterest first came out and you had to essentially sign up to register and then eventually you'd get let in. Not very valuable content and obviously nothing that's needed now because Pinterest is open to anyone. Choosing pricing strategies and tactics for your business, a decent piece of content but not really focused on the audience that we want to get. There's no clear direction as opposed to what we're writing for. So when you're sitting up, we have no content strategy. We have no defined goals, you know, we have no uniform structure in what we're trying to do. We're just kind of shooting from the hip, no idea really what our readers wanted, but we started creating content. So, you know, depending on where your organization might be, maybe you're here, maybe you're not, but just trying to take the benefit of knowing that, hey, we're starting to create content and we're going to start to progress. So just some quick stats on those. So here's the Pinterest piece, 500 visits in 4 years, that's pretty pathetic. This was 500 visits in 3 years or 300 visits in 3 years, something like that too. A little bit more sporadic, getting like 5 visits a month, pretty bad, not really providing any value out there on the internet, just taking up space pretty much. Then we moved into crawling. Here's two examples of crawling type of content. So why a career in finance would make your friends jealous. So We're starting to learn a little bit more about where we want to go with our content, but still not very uniform. Accounting salaries that your family can bank on. So again, a little bit more topical. We're starting to see some movement. We've outlined our strategy. We're starting to do editing through peer reviews, so we don't necessarily have a strong editing process yet, but we're starting to make sure that we're not making stupid mistakes in our content, have some of that production structure in place, whether we're creating one piece of content a week, something like that. We're starting to learn more about our audience, so you notice in the pieces, they were a lot more focused towards questions that, you know, a prospective student or someone looking to go back and earn a degree might be interested in when they're learning about their career, but we're not yet driving any business value. So when we look at the analytics for this content, we see, you know, a little bit of spike here and there, you know, 300 visits in 3 years for this article, no conversions, you know, nothing really too good. Same thing here, about 500 visits in 3 years, and it's just not really getting to the core point of what we want to do in terms of driving ROI. When we got to walking, we started to do a little bit better, so you can see these visuals are definitely a little bit better than the previous slide. So in-demand careers you can do with a business degree and then entry-level HR job salaries. So just some data that we thought the audience would be interested in. So when we're walking, we finally have streamlined our process. So up until this point, our process for creating content, editing it, and doing creative was very much in being evolved as we went. So we didn't have the standard process in place, but now we've ironed out the wrinkles and we know what we're doing. We're focused on answering the target audience's questions. We know what they want. We're committed to measurement and analytics. So a big thing when it comes to advancing your content is, can you prove what you're doing and the value that's providing? If you can't understand how to measure yourself against KPIs, how against actual business goals, it's gonna be hard to get the team to buy into what you're doing. Because here at this point, you wanna start to drive real business value. You know, depending on what your audience is looking for, are you trying to drive online conversions? Are you trying to drive signups or direct sales? You wanna start to drive that value. Because once you get the leadership buy-in for support for investment, you can start to do a lot cooler things. You can either scale the team, more writers, more content, or you can start to advance in the different types of content that you're creating. So just some examples here of the analytics. So the jobs you can do with a business degree, again, huge social spike at the beginning, and then consistent traffic throughout. And let's see what were the stats for this one. Around 1,000 visits in 3 years and earned four conversions. Okay, so starting to see a little bit more momentum. We're starting to see some of that business value. This one, a little bit more on the visits, about 8,000 visits in over 3 years. So we know that obviously the salaries of these potential things is a big concern for our audience. And this one received a handful of conversions as well. So we knew that this content was starting to get on the right track of what we need to be creating. All right, so running. All right, let me just check here. So running, we're starting to get to more advanced type of content, really focused on what we wanted to create. So here's a 10 facts you didn't know about a nursing program, and then a ebook career guide that we started to create. So when you're running, you got buy-in from the entire organization. And I know we already mentioned buy-in from leadership, but this is throughout the entire organization. So when we're creating content, say, and we're doing something for the School of Business, the individuals that work specifically on the School of Business are bought into our strategy. They're invested in our strategy. So you wanna make sure that you get it, the buy-in from across departments as well as across the leadership team. We're improving our content differentiation through imagery, through data, and through the different types of content. And then we're going back to retroactively fix those old mistakes. So when we were sitting up, crawling, or walking, you know, we were probably missing a lot of opportunities on good potential pieces of content, and we're going back to fix those retroactively. And then we're looking to kickstart our content with paid social promotion. So essentially at this point, we have investment and buy-in from leadership, so we would take a small budget, $100, $50 to $100, and pay to promote the content on social media, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, StumbledUpon, whatever. And we did that to help kickstart our organic rankings. What we found is that when we promoted it socially, we got some momentum from it right away. It would help speed up the process for us ranking organically because we were always bought into the long term. You know, if this gets 1,000 views in the first week, that's great. But I want tens of thousands of views over the next couple of years because that's how it really starts to add on and starts to snowball. All right, so just some analytics for this one. So again, 10 facts that you wanted to know about a nursing program. So this was specifically about the client's nursing program, so very closed phase oriented. Got about 20,000 views in 2 years and around 1,000 conversions in the 2 years. So driving huge business value for us and just a basic piece of content. So it was great to see those kind of results. And then our ebook guide. So ebook guides, essentially how we prove this model out. So let's say the client had 7 schools of study, business, nursing, health sciences, whatever. But what we did is we created one ebook first to prove that it worked, and then created the other 6 or 7. So we'd create this, we saw that we were getting downloads, we saw that a percentage of those downloads were converting or inquiring to come to school, and we were like, oh, this strategy obviously works, and then we created all of them. Essentially, this is using data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is comes out about once every 10 years. So every year we refresh this piece of content, and the only refreshing we have to do is say, this is the 2016 guide, this is the 2017 guide. But 99% of the content on the inside stays the same because the content's only updated every 10 years by the government. So it's super, super easy. And we're getting about 2,000 downloads a year, and roughly 5 to 10% of those downloads end up converting or inquiring about going to school. So when they download this, they get added on to like an email newsletter where it keeps hitting them and stuff like that. So definitely a valuable piece of content to help push people further down the sales funnel. All right, fun stuff, parkour. What career should I choose, and is self-paced learning right for me? So definitely a little bit more visually stimulating pieces of content that we worked on here, and I'll go into more detail after we talk about what we're doing here. So our content strategy aligns with our organizational strategy. So the big mission of the organization is how do we really help and support people to find the career that they want? You know, so our content is truly focused on that, on the content of careers. We're actively engaged in larger content strategy projects, so that could be like an interactive data visualization. But what we also found is that we became so well versed in our audiences, our personas, and what type of content the audience was looking for, that we were being pulled into projects for the website. So how do we improve the sales pages on our website based on what the audience needs? So we're getting pulled in, again, stronger buy-in from across the organization. Earning digital authority across the web for highly competitive terms. You know, what career should I choose? I mean, granted, depending on your niche, like that's a highly competitive term. And I'm sure we probably rank number one or number two based off of that piece of content now that sends tens of thousands of visits to our website every month. And that piece of content is 2 years old. You don't have to do anything with it anymore. Attract attention externally. So, Sear, our content has attracted interviews, links, news features from BBC, from CNN, from Lifehacker, a whole bunch of different cool places that drive tons of referral traffic for us. And then we're promoting our brand purpose, which again is helping support driving content and driving career-related assistance to the audience. All right, so analytics behind the what career should I choose? So just some background on this piece of content. Essentially, on the left side, salary, 50K, 100K, 150K, 200K. The right side, bottom axis, is growth in the job. So you think of, you know, this career field has got to grow 5, 10% over the next 10, 20 years, whatever it is. So essentially, when you're looking or you're thinking about what careers you should choose, you can be like, you know what, I want a job where there's a ton of opportunities. So you go and you look over the section where there's 50% growth in the career field. Like, I know I'm going to have a job. You might not make as much money, but you know you're going to have a job. And then there's the people who are like, well, I don't really care about that. I want to make bank. And then they filter out and to see like, oh, well, if I want to make $200,000 a year, I need to be a lawyer or whatever. So it's just another great piece of content. The Google Analytics screenshot below, it looks again like this piece of content essentially died. But this spike is essentially like between 50 to 100,000 visits in the course of like a week. So all of these, this is probably about 10 to 20,000 visits a month. So it looks kind of weird, and you see like the second bump there, it actually got a second pair of legs for a little bit there. I think it was featured maybe somewhere in one of these sites. So whether or not we're getting attention from like chart porn, the Search Engine Journal, or Lifehackers, we've had several placements there, and they send a ton of traffic to our site, which is really awesome. So Definitely just a good piece of content that's done really well for us. In total, in 2 years, it's received about 150,000 views and 30 to 40 conversions. Again, this is a little bit more of a higher level piece of the content. So it's not really conversion oriented, but seeing conversions from it is definitely great too. And I guess I should mention there, we have assisted and direct conversions. So think of an assisted conversion where someone saw this piece of content and then continued onto our site, saw a degree page, and then inquired about going to school. So this piece of content assisted in their journey. And then direct conversions where someone might have landed on this page, saw it, loved it, and then directly converted on the website from this page. Is self-learning right for me? This is a great piece of content. It's not as old, only 2,700 visits in the past year with about over a dozen assisted and direct conversions, but what's really great is it's driving awareness for a major initiative. So I'm not sure if anyone here works in the education space, but self-paced learning, competency-based classes are gonna be really the future of college education. No longer do you need a living, breathing teacher to teach, you know, fairly basic courses, you think like customer service and different things like that. So the idea of going through modules and learning on your own is gonna be big. And this is just a piece of content that really helps drive awareness for that. And you can kind of see where it's stayed fairly consistent. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, the idea of self-paced learning is really starting to catch on and really important, as I think like only like 200 institutions in the country are currently approved to do these type of courses. And our client is one of them. So it's definitely something that really helps drive a major initiative that we were able to accomplish through a piece of content. So just a quick recap. Sitting up, more ad hoc, kind of sporadic, crawling, very rudimentary, but you're starting to move a little bit. Walking, you're organized, you can have some consistency. Running, you're really starting to pick things up and do it well. And then parkour, you're just killing it. All right, so four things you need to reach maturity. So I'm gonna go through four basic things that you guys need to follow that'll kind of allow you to take it step by step to kind of grow. The first is follow a process. All right, if you don't have a process for creating this type of content, you're definitely gonna continue to struggle. I believe it was Jeremy in the last keynote, he talked about Trello. I'm sure some of us are aware of Trello. I'm gonna go through and actually briefly highlight the type of a process that you can develop in Trello as far as creating content and have a structured process to making sure that you have a consistent production line. So I gave actually a full presentation on this last year. So if you go to bit.ly/Trello for content, you can get the full deck that kind of goes through it in a little bit more detail. I try to do it in like four or five slides. So first thing you want to do when you get into Trello is create a board. You know, you name it your company. You know, we manage Trello boards for all of our clients for all the content that we're doing. So ABC company. And then you're going to identify the steps in your process. So this might be different depending on your organization and what you guys want to set up, but brainstorm. So these are just the general content ideas of what we can maybe do. Like, I want to write a piece of content that speaks to ABC. Talking pitched. So pitched is essentially we would have weekly meetings with our entire content team to talk about our ideas, to kind of collaborate, get better ideas, and bounce things off of each other. Articles being written, so it's in the production process, it's in editing, it's ready to publish, and essentially it's published. So, you know, whether or not you're on the content team or the social team, having access to something like this where you can say, oh, I know that this piece of content's coming down the pipe, all right, let's prepare and let's start thinking about what we're gonna do from a social side to start promoting it. Place content ideas in your cards, so essentially, you know, you're thinking of a general title for your article and what you wanna do. And then the key pieces of information that you wanna be putting into your Trello card as you're looking at creating content. And again, this is essentially for any piece of content, you should be thinking about these things. So what is the persona? You know, who are we speaking to? Typically, we had anywhere from 3 to 5 personas at different audiences and different concerns that we were dealing with. So we wanted to make sure that we were really focused on answering the individual's questions and getting to their needs. The funnel stage. You know, is it high level? Are you talking awareness? Or are you talking close phase funnel? Is it more of a trigger phase where you're starting to do that? Are they in the search phase where they're looking for a solution and your product is a solution? That's going to drastically change the verbiage and the type of language that you're using in your content. The keyword, SEO optimization, always strong believer in that. That's how, you know, you get continual long-term visits to your content. Questions, what are the key questions? So when you're looking through, just seeing what kind of questions the audience is thinking about for this idea, the content idea details. So if the content idea is how to impress your boss during a presentation, you're going to talk about, you know, the first thing I want to talk about is dressing nice or speaking or eliminating the ums and different things like that. So your imagery, what's your idea for the type of image that you want to do? You know, maybe this is an extensive image or maybe it's just a fairly basic one. And then what is your call to action? And your call to action is going to change drastically depending on the funnel stage. So if you're writing a high level awareness piece of content, you're not going to ask for a conversion at the end of the content because it doesn't match up. They're not ready yet. You want to send them to a call to action that's most appropriate based off of the funnel stage. So this is kind of what it looks like when you're all done, got the persona, funnel, all that kind of content, and then you simply move through the process. So again, this is kind of just very, very basic, but you move from brainstorm to pitch to written to in editing to ready to publish, and you just fill up. So essentially, we would always have tons of cards in our brainstorm board, in our pitch board, and then being written was usually maybe one or two at a time, and then you just move them through the process and stuff like that. So essentially a regular sales funnel. So if you're selling, we'll just stick with college because that's what I'm good at. We're talking someone who's maybe looking at a career change might not be thinking about college yet. They might just be thinking about a career. So in that point, you know, a high level piece of content for them might be top 10 reasons why you need to go back to school to advance your career because they're not quite ready for the whole idea of like committing to going back to school. But then you get more and more targeted to going down where it's like, you know, from awareness you go to the trigger phase and it's like, oh wow, like if I get a degree, I could make $30,000 more a year. Oh, that's it. I need to think about going to a degree. And then you get into the search phase, you're like, all right, what type of a degree do I want? The close phase, I'm ready. I want this degree. Good question. Number two, be self-conscious. All right, so assessing the competition. So this is something a little bit more about kind of related to like keyword research. So here's just an example, accounting versus finance. You know, it's a keyword phrase that gets around 1,000 visits a month on Google, it has low competition. So it's a target that, you know, we think that based off this is something our audience might be interested in. So we go to Google, we're looking and seeing what content is out there. You'll notice in the red boxes, do I have a laser? Nice. This little bar right here, it's called the Moz bar. Is anyone familiar with Moz or SEO Moz and stuff like that? So essentially, if you download the Moz bar, it'll overlay this type of information right into your Google search results, and it gives you the page authority for the content and then the domain authority of the website. So essentially, when you're going through and looking at if there's a keyword phrase that you want to try to target for a piece of content, you can be honest with yourself and be like, all right, can I outrank this person? So you should know where your website would maybe kind of fall in comparison for that, because if the New York Times ranks number one, you're probably not going to be able to outrank them. So you might want to look for other opportunities. But if you look at this and be like, hey, I can do something better. Let's go ahead and take it on. So let's do the research. Let's see the type of content that's out there. So I think this is like, you know, the top universities post right here that was ranking number one. So accounting versus finance, what should I study? Is this content good? How can I improve upon it? What can I do to make something better? Eventually, we do make something better. I wrote a post called Finance versus Accounting, which degree is right for you? Ranks number one, gets, you know, 8,000 to 10,000 visits a month. Lots of good success. Really happy about that. But you want to start testing ideas to find out what works, because there's definitely a lot of different things to test out in your content. You don't know what's going to work right away and what's not. So here's just an example of what I wish I knew before working in finance. How many times do you think we could redo that article as a college? What I wish I knew before working in healthcare, in nursing, in design, in technology. It's like we could do that a million times. Is graphic design a degree that's worth it or worthless? You could write that again for every degree program. And that was actually one where when I first had the idea of doing worth it or worthless, it came from keyword research, but there was some pushback internally. Like, do we want to talk about the negative side of getting a degree? We're trying to be unbiased. You know, and they eventually saw that we can be unbiased and provide value to our audience, but that was a difficult question for a while, is whether or not we really wanted to highlight the bad parts of getting a degree. Nursing versus teaching. So we found that versus posts, internally we just call them versus posts, just really, really kill it for us. So you got your audience where they're thinking about, should I do this or that? You know, this or that. They're looking for that clear direction. They don't know how to compare them. They don't know how to make a choice, so we try to give them our somewhat unbiased opinion to help them make an educated decision. So definitely something good. Duplicate past success. So again, we did the versus posts. We found that they're extremely valuable, so we did it another three times. LPN versus RN, human services versus social work versus psychology. We don't even have our client doesn't even have a psychology degree, but we knew that those were questions that people are asking, so we wanted to answer it. IT versus computer science. Just, we found that from testing the different topical ideas, we found ones that were successful, and then we repeated it and re-repeated it. Don't need to reinvent the wheel every time. And then just looking at restoring the classics. So again, briefly mentioned this, when we first started creating content, very rudimentary, wasn't very advanced. So here's accounting versus finance when it first came out in 2012. Well, then I rewrote the article because we got better at doing some design type stuff and a little bit better at doing our storytelling, and kept it going there. And then it was actually repurposed again because we've gotten even better. And with that, we've seen continued growth in the value of this article. So we found that roughly it takes anywhere from 3 to 6 months for our articles to really start to seed in Google and take off. But because then they're so quality, all right, so this one's getting roughly 2,000 visits a month and doing quite well. I think over the lifespan of this article, it's received over 150,000 visits and maybe 100 or so conversions. Huge business value. Finding new ways to stand out with your content. So here we used data from the Robert Half career guide. So a lot of great data. You could also use like the Bureau of Labor Statistics. You could use census data, things like that. Just finding ways to stand out in creative ways for information that your audience is searching for. Exclusive information, Burning Glass. So Burning Glass is a paid tool that we use that essentially, the functionality is that the tool scrapes online job boards. So you think of like the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they come out with like their growth and salary estimates for careers every 10 years. But depending on the career field, like 10 years is a long time to wait. This gives you up to the day information on what the job boards say and where the growth is and things like that. Again, it's a paid tool, but it provides extremely exclusive information for our audience. The only other company that I've seen using this outside of us is the New York Times. So pretty cool tool. And again, as you can see, we've gotten a lot better at how we visualize that data. We have an amazing creative team. Do-it-yourself data. So if you're looking to write an article and you want something to back up what you're saying versus just your opinion, that's the biggest thing when you're getting started off writing, is that you have no authority. It's essentially your opinion. But if you can back it up with data, with statistics, then it's a lot more sound and solid. So here's one where we want to write an article like, what did you want to be when you grew up? We thought it was a cool question, and it was an idea that fit within the idea of career-related content for the client. But how do we get that data? There's no really big studies or anything like that. For the most part, it's like, you know, people go online, it's like, yeah, I wanted to be a fireman or whatever, but it's like, we paid for a Google consumer survey, I don't know, anywhere from 300 to 500 people, and we just asked them, what did you want to be when you grew up? I think the biggest answers were doctor, lawyer, you know, firefighter and stuff like that. But it's like, we had raw data that backed up our claim that really provide a lot more value. And if you can't do it that way, definitely look at utilizing expert authority. So has anyone ever heard of Harrow? So help a reporter out. So essentially you go on to Harrow and you put out a query saying, I'm looking at connecting with an expert in X field to talk about Y subject matter. And this is what the type of content that I'm going to be working on. And essentially Harrow connects you, or you get connected with people that might be subject matter experts in those areas. So this is also a great way for you guys to earn links to your own content if you have internal subject matter experts at your office that essentially can be featured in other people's blogs. But we would connect with CEOs, business owners, you know, people that are subject matter experts in their given field, just to get a quote, just to get their thoughts, to bring it in. So again, when we're talking about a subject that we don't have authority in, we're trying to bring in that external authority. So that's being self-conscious. All right, so acting deliberately. It's a good Banksy photo or art that I like. So content marketing baseball, okay? So The biggest resource limitation that we have is our time. It's not money, it's our time. So when you're thinking about creating your content, you got to think of it as in baseball. So everyone wants to hit home runs, but in reality, 75% of the things that you're going to be creating are just the simple basic types of content. You know, it's going to be those singles that answer a lot of the people's questions and get the value out. You have some doubles in there, you have a couple of triples, and then you have a few home runs. You know, maybe you have a couple of doubles that or a couple of singles that turn into doubles, or doubles that turn into triples, triples that turn into home runs. Or sometimes you maybe shoot for a home run and you only end up with a triple. So it's just kind of thinking about when you're resourcing, you're planning, what do you want to spend most of your time on? Because you can't just swing for the fences every time. So singles are solid. So again, just answering those key questions, fairly basic type content. So what I wish someone told me before taking online classes. Someone who's never taken online classes, probably very interested in hearing about this. So again, just easy content that you can consistently create that's not gonna be too much trouble for you. Doubles and triples at scale. So doubles and triples at scale is a really interesting one. We invested money in developing templates for this type of content. So essentially, this is an interactive map. You click on a state, and then it provides you a drop-down here. You click on another state, it provides you a drop-down. You can compare the two. So, you know, when people are reading our content in Minnesota, but maybe they're thinking about moving to Boston, they can kind of look at the differences and say it's the amount of jobs that are available or the specific job titles that are most common in those areas to see where they would want to move. And then you got the quizzes on the right, definitely a little bit more, excuse me, engaging type of a content, medieval professions, certainly an interesting one. But this is content that we created, so all we have to do is plug and play. We're putting this into a widget that was built. It spits out these interactions, and it's really easy to produce for us now. All right, home runs are special. Here's the career aptitude test that essentially it allows people to choose their skills in these different things, and that spits out a list of potential jobs that they might be interested in. This one had tons of success, been featured on Reddit, Time. We had someone call from the BBC to interview us on Lifehacker. Definitely super successful. You can see from the analytics this spike here. This is pretty much all thanks to Lifehacker. Sent us about 150,000 visits in a day, which was just like, we were looking at our analytics and we thought something crazy was going on. But overall, in 2 years, this post has seen over 1 million views and hundreds of conversions. So super, super cool piece of content. All right, so focusing on your purpose. So as content marketers, we're generally really focused on our KPIs, okay? So we're thinking about what amount of website traffic am I getting? Where are my clicks? Where am I ranking? Okay, what are my social shares? Things like that. But in reality, you need to be able to relate those things to the actual business metrics that your leadership team and that people throughout your organization really care about. So they're caring about the lead generation, the sales, the brand awareness, things like that. So if you can't provide that to them, you're going to be continually struggling with that. 51% of marketers cited measuring content effectiveness as a challenge. So one way that you can help do that is get comfortable with Google Analytics. So this is something that, you know, I had to do in my career. I think most of us probably have like an analytics guy back at the office and stuff like that. But usually they're so swamped, asking them to do an analysis on your piece of content that maybe got, you know, a couple hundred visits last month, they don't really have time for it. They got bigger fish to fry. So you need to get comfortable using Google Analytics so that way you can track the ROI of your content. So you can say, all right, this drove 1,000 visits, 100 conversions. Of those 100 conversions, I know that, you know, our average conversion rate is 10%. So that's 10 people, okay? So then of those 10 people, we know that 5 of them purchased or 5 of them started. Well, the average value of that is $3,000. So I know that this piece of content provided $30,000 of value to me. So that's the type of ROI and the type of information that your leadership team wants to see. Driving innovation, so just finishing up here. So here's just a regular blog article, and what we did is you can see the careers and design part there in the bottom. So we ran a conversion rate optimization test of adding this box into the streams of our content for callouts to download our ebook guides. Definitely something that we wanted to see. We wanted to get a lot of value out of our blog. We found that adding that saw almost a 50% more downloads in our ebooks. So again, creating huge business value of an additional downloads, driving more people to inquire about going back to school, and just really, we were really excited about that. So definitely provided strong ROI on our investment. Quick recap, follow the process. If you don't have one, borrow one, steal one, use the Trello one, whatever you have, definitely refine your process. Be self-conscious, know what works, know what doesn't, and know what resources you might need. Act deliberately. So this is my Indiana Jones quote, you must choose, but choose wisely. So again, time is our most valuable resource. Make sure you're spending it wisely. And then focus on your purpose. So again, you're here to provide ROI, to provide business value. You need to make sure that you're understanding those metrics as well. Great quote, just to sum it up, start where you are, doesn't matter where you are in the content maturity model, use what you have, do what you can, continue to grow. That's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Grant.